Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Turn your neighbor and say overflow. We've done that for 2 weeks. I'm going to say it a few more times so you believe that overflow can happen in your life. Come on, can you say welcome to Craig and Chantal? Truth is, I didn't know if I'd be in a food coma from this week, so I'm like, let me just bring some help up here. And thanks for being up here today. I twisted their arm today for being up here. And I'm glad they're here today. I met Craig and Chantel. A lot of you guys know them. And I've met them through a connection in Southwest Florida. And I think I've shared the story before, but they came like right out of COVID. It's kind of funny, kind of embarrassing. And they came like in July, August, and it was like fresh out of COVID. And they only watched Hope Church for like several months. They watched online. Now, they're coming from a big church, multiple campuses, and our online experience was an experience. I'll hide and turn the volume up, too.
We had to max it all the way, 100 on the TV.
Did it go that? You get all you have.
Yeah. It was like the sound bar.
Yeah.
Certain, like, is this thing going to blow up? Because it's not loud. There's this weird hum coming from it.
Yeah. It was us. So it wasn't you.
It was great.
But we became fast friends, and we got to your house not shortly after that, and we would share food together, and it was around this time, and Craig made the biggest vat of gravy that I have ever seen for six people. I've never seen so much gravy.
You always brought out.
Like I don't know.
You're always at the end of the turkey leftovers. Like, man, I had a little bit more gravy.
Well, we did it right out.
I still use it.
Yeah.
For like 4 years.
I was like, are you gonna freeze it? And we became friends and hung out and we laughed together. And you guys serve in lots of areas. I'm gonna let Chantel tell everybody where you serve at. Where else
serve? We serve in the Blue Room for kids. And I serve a sisterhood group leader.
Woohoo!
We are the Freedom Leaders for
small groups. Freedom! For all the people that have gone to the Freedom Group, just raise your hand if you've gone through Freedom. Actually, stand up. If you've gone through Freedom, stand up. If you've gone through Freedom, stand up. Don't be afraid. All right, sit down. This will be really funny. Now you're here too. If you've gone through it multiple times, you guys stand up. Stand up if you've gone through it multiple times. Look how many people have gone through it multiple times. Come on. Would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? If you've gone through it two times, you're going to go through it again. No, I'm kidding, man. The Freedom, if you haven't gone through Freedom yet, you got to go through Freedom. Everyone is got to go through Freedom. We've been talking about our leadership pipeline, and if you're going to be a leader of this church, you even have to go through Freedom, at least if you plan on going through Freedom. Like, Freedom is just, it's such a huge part. Anyway, so thank you guys for all that you guys do. And then they do all that together, and they come on Saturday night. Craig also serves as a trustee, and so he watches over the finances of the house with me and a few other men, and I'm so thankful for you guys, and you guys have impacted so many people. When I think about overflow, I've known these guys for a couple of years, and there's a lot of you guys that I can bring up here and talk about overflow, and that's just the reality, and there's nothing... I knew they would say yes, so I asked them, okay, that's what I'm going to be completely honest. There's a lot of, and I was thinking this too, I was looking across the room, there's a lot of people who never ever want to be up on the stage. You're not that kind of person. You just wouldn't want to get up on stage. But your story is so powerful, and I'm chipping away at you. That phrase is just chipping away at you. And so I've spoken over a lot of you guys, like, hey, one day you can get up right there next with me. Next time, your kids are next with me. Next one I'm saying is, you guys are a picture of overflow. I've seen God overflow your life in so many areas. But I wanted to just, so we might get into that, and we're kind of just trusting that God's going to use this conversation to encourage you guys. But you guys are in the overflow season, but I would assume there's been seasons of your life where you're like, Lord, please let overflow come. You're begging for overflow. And so I wanted to start that. I wanted to start with the negative, you know? I know I'm always rainbows and unicorns, but I wanted to start with maybe a season or a story in your life where you like you just weren't experiencing overflow, kind of what you guys were going through, what that looked like for you guys.
Sure. You may go first.
Yeah, I think before we get started, I think if you look back at our lives, we constantly go in cycles of overflow and wanting for more, or even in times of overflow, you look at each other and go, wow, I wish we had this, this, and this. I wish we could do this. And then when you slow down, you go, wait a minute, we're in a pretty good spot. We have overflow, we're enjoying life, we have amazing blessings, but you find yourself sometimes in those perceived valleys of achieve, or so everything's maxed, so this isn't working right now. Well, there are some good things, but yeah, there have been times in our life, I'd say, where really deep valleys or really uncertainty in what we were doing.
Yeah, after we got married, we got a condo together, and it was we bought it right before the housing market plunge. And then we had a baby girl, and so it was the three of us in this condo, and the assessment fees kept going up and up and up and up. And we were looking at losing our condo and having to live with my mom.
Come on, that was not an overflow season. That was not an overflow season.
I would say at the same time, I'm a real estate developer. 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9 was not a great real estate development season. So, yeah, new family, we're trying to figure out life together. And career-wise, we woke up in the morning not really knowing what to do all day.
Yeah.
What should we do today?
Were you guys in, what was your spiritual climate like in that season? Were you guys in church, out of church?
We were in church. We were going to a church in Naples. We kind of started right around that time, right after we got married, right before all that happened, right before we had Cheyenne. So we had started the journey at least.
Yeah. Were you guys in community, or were you guys like just attending, like sitting in the back row? Where were y'all at?
We were attenders.
Yeah.
Or I was.
Peg didn't want to be there, did he?
He was okay. He did okay. We were serving at least, so we had gotten that part of our community, but we hadn't really dug in other than that.
Yeah. Cool. Let me ask you this. So I think that's just a reality that you do go through seasons when there's not overflow. Now, fast forward or somewhere in the last, you know, your daughter's 14 years old, and then Harper is
10.
Harper's 10, 10, 14. Come on, pray for me. Feel 14, at least. Do you guys feel like, these guys have gone to multiple different churches, have two churches now. This is the third one. You guys have plugged in, you guys have gone through leadership training, you've gone through a lot of freedom. And these guys have, if you ever want to learn like their story, their freedom journey, it's awesome. Like, and honestly, what we say about freedom is a journey, and it's never over until we get to heaven. We're all in the process until it's over. And as comfortable or not as comfortable as that feels, we're just in the process. Do you guys feel like this overflow, do you feel like there's a posture? Did you guys get in different positions or postures? How did you, was there something that happened before? Because I'm going to be like, wow, overflow. And I want to have what they have, or I want to be in a season that they're in, but they didn't see what it took to get to where you're at. So is there a posture, is there a position that you guys believe?
Yeah, for us, I think in that season of like a brokenness season, an empty season, it was obedience, listening to the word, listening to our pastors, getting into community group, doing all the things that God was telling us that we knew, little voices, a little voice in our head saying what we should do, and then doing something different for a long season of our life. Getting to that emptiness, that broken season, saying, well, this clearly isn't working. What choice do we have but to try something different, or to even though we don't know what is next, or what the next steps look like, every day waking up, taking a step closer to God and say, trying to follow that.
We had to kind of let go of what we thought it was supposed to be.
Someone needs to write that down. We had to let go of what we thought it was supposed to be. That's so powerful.
Or even what the world would say made sense. We had to kind of let go of what the world thought made sense and take kind of like a trust fall with God.
Yeah, what were y'all chasing after? Well, before you're like, what Chantel just said, we had to change what the goal was. What was the goal prior to changing the goal?
I think it was just holding on to what we had. We were holding on. We didn't want to lose our first home that we bought together. And, it was, we didn't want to get foreclosed on. We didn't want to,
The American dream, whatever that is, however you define that, I think that's what we were chasing. It was to be super wealthy, to have houses and cars and boats and awesome family and businesses. Whatever it was.
I just didn't want to lose my house.
It was more, whatever more it was. There was no definition, I'd say. And that was something I think I struggled to take more with, is I wanted more. I don't know what more is. I'll know when I see it. And then when I get that, I want more from that. So I'd say empty more.
Yeah.
No definition around it. Just unhappy in the season I was in.
Yeah. Man, that's so good. So many people are chasing more. Just more than the Scott thing is, I wish I could get in front of them and go, hey, it's a dead end or it's a rabbit hole and you're not going to get there because there is going to change. But people just keep on going. When did that shift for you guys? What did become the new, whenever you're like, listen, this is not it. Like, this house, it's not about houses, it's not about cars, it's not about boats, all the things that aren't bad things, but are your idol, then it's idolatry, and that's not good. But what switched, what became the goal after you guys kind of said, this is not working?
Well, the first thing, we obeyed what we knew God was telling us to do. We did lose the condo, but it was redeemed, over and over again. He, in a season where people were losing their jobs left and right with his career, he got advancement after advancement. It didn't make sense at all, just like the thing God was asking us, and it didn't make sense at all. But when we kind of got in that obedient posture, everything started to shift.
Going to work on ourselves.
Yeah. We dug more into church. We started, I think, serving in even more places, community groups. We really, and then with, so when God's overflow started to come in, we started to ask ourselves, okay, so God's given us this. We didn't want to make sure that we weren't doing anything for us because he gave it to us, but like we wanted to steward it well. Honestly, I was scared of, what would happen if we didn't, because he had been so good to us.
Have you guys ever made a deal with God?
Has anybody attempted to make deals with God?
Yeah, all right, God, if you can do this, then I promise you, I'm not going to do any more Christian curse words. I promise you.
It was something too much. I think that season, that growth season for us, we started tithing, right?
Yeah.
We kind of dipped our toes into it. It didn't make sense. We started tithing. We started to get more disciplined in that. And we really changed, I think, our mindset of whatever we had was really not ours.
Right.
That was a huge breakthrough for me, for us. Whatever blessing poured out on us, whatever we received, how could we share it? How could it benefit many? How could we make sure we weren't doing things to collect for ourselves?
Yeah, so
hold it loosely.
You guys are preaching my sermon. What was the hurdle for tithing for you guys? What was the hurdle? Back then, it was a lack of knowledge. Was that
all of it?
You're like times 0.10. That's a lot. I don't know. Practically speaking, were you guys? I don't know. For me, I felt like if I was about to lose everything, I'd be like, I can't afford it.
So it had been a conversation about tithe, and
who was the forefront of that? Who was called? We need to do this.
I was. He was like, have you seen the bills? But so when you don't do what God says, He kind of makes you. He has a way of making you. So when it came to we were going to lose our condo, we basically got advice from someone that said, listen, you should just stop paying, like don't pay, because then you could go for the short sale option. And which sounds terrible, but when God brought that opportunity to us, it was finally like, go ahead, tithe, So it did. We did that. We 10% across the board, no matter what, whether it was a bonus or a salary or whatever it was, we did that. And the second we did that is when he started getting these promotions and things. It shouldn't be there. People were losing jobs in this. I mean, they were like laying off people. And he was getting promotions and bumps in salary and bonuses, and it did not make sense, except for time.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the unique thing about the condo, so we did that, we started tithing. One day we got a check in our mailbox.
Yeah.
Because there was like a class action lawsuit against our mortgage company during the recession and everything they were doing and weren't allowed to do. So we just got this huge check in our mailbox. Like, sorry.
Like, out of nowhere. Like, God was like, here you go. Thanks for obeying.
Come on. I learned that. You know, for me, tithing is like oxygen. Like, it makes no sense. We get to the end of the year, guys. Like, you won't believe, like, you don't believe how much we gave, but we do every year. At the end of the year, I send my tithe report to our, how much we give. I send it to our overseers so they can know that I'm doing what I ask people to do. Everything I'm trying to hold this church accountable to, I'm held accountable to. So probably more at a higher level. But I send my tithe report and I did send overseers and they were like, hey, you gotta send it also to your trustees, the guys that are in your church, so they can see that you're being obedient and faithful. And so every year we like doing that. Like, we're not counting every penny. Like 10% is just automatic every Friday. But then we get to the end of the year giving, and we give. We have some friends and missionaries, and we give away. It just seems like common sense, but it obviously just is such a hard thing for so many people. That was the tough season. Oh, wait, season. Have you guys had any seasons where you're like, you've ever held back the top since then, or even like once you were like. Once we like saw the check coming from the class action laws, you're like, am I gonna mess up this math? Not a problem. Have you guys seen any other like laws in that, or you just kept going?
Not laws in tithing, right? I think it's been more blessings and making sure we're treating those appropriately and being obedient. And every decision we make, move to Orlando was not number one on our list of where places we wanted to move to. We were actually, I think we even offered a place in Sarasota. So we were trying to figure out where to move during a season where we were able to move for the first time in our lives.
Well, we came and visited where we thought we could afford, and we were both like, nope, it's not going to be there. We're not going there.
Yeah. For sure not Orlando.
For sure
not Orlando. That was the drive. Like, we don't want to be Orlando. Let's check out Jacksonville. Let's check out Sarasota. We were in the process of thinking about moving to Sarasota, whatever. We were looking at houses. And we got a call asking, hey, I know you don't want to go to, I know you were thinking about Sarasota, would you consider Orlando? And that was like both of us, it was a Saturday, where I walked out of the room, like, hey, I just got a call asking, are you sure you don't want to, would you consider Orlando? I didn't say no, but I think we got to pray about it.
Right. And what our previous pastors have been speaking into us is the thought of, like, don't limit yourself, but don't limit ourselves, but also don't limit what God can do through us. So, like, kind of leave your eyes open so that he can do what it needs to do. And so we prayed about that, and within, I think we kind of both went to separate spots of the house, quiet time, and we came back and we're like, it's Orlando, like, then. So we didn't really want to, but it was just crazy once we said yes to that, how, again, that overflow of blessings, this, like, awesome house just, like, fell into our lap that we got for a crazy cheap price because it was, it needed some work. And it ended up being this beautiful place to, you know, host groups in. And it was just crazy how we keep going in that.
Staying going, being obedient, jumping in, knowing that we had no idea what the next step was.
Yeah.
Other than, okay, so we're moving to Orlando. We don't know what that looks like. We don't know.
And our daughter hated the house.
Yeah.
She's like, I hate it. I don't want to look at it.
At that point, we even put our house in Fort Myers on the market. Like, all right, we're going to Orlando. Let's go.
In like 5 days.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, I guess we're going.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the house before you guys put the work into it, so she's not really wrong. I drove by so many times, and I'm like, babe, they got like a big pile of dirt in the front yard.
It's a pit.
I'm like, how long does it take to put you doing papers? What were y'all, you did everything. I don't know. That is incredible. You guys have preached to the last 2 weeks of sermons. Yeah, Pastor Ron, Pastor Sarah, saying to you, like, hey, just believe that overflow can actually happen. Just trust God, and you don't know what's on the other side. You know, you can just trust Him. And then what you guys have said before about just week one of the series was just like, it's not going to make sense. Like, to go get empty pots, it's not going to make sense. And to just take whatever you do have and to give it away, make more and have leftover, it's just not going to make sense. And so I mean, given it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. But you're basically saying, like, hey, you just trust God in this area. Just watch it. Like, I think a lot of times people aren't putting God in the position. They're not trusting and putting their faith in Christ, so they can't even imagine how it's going on the other side, and so they don't even do it. But you'll never know until you do it. You know, like, that makes no sense, because some people are working on logic at this church. If you're new, logic says if you give away 10%, we need to go get an extra job to go make the 10%. The way y'all are saying is if you give about 10%, he's going to reach on the other side. Yeah. And I can't tell him to look, but he's going to meet you there.
That step of faith.
Yeah. And we'll never know. We'll never know. Mom's here today. Dad's here today. You know, you don't really know. The kid can swim until the instructor goes, hey, tomorrow when you come, bring your kid fully dressed. We're going to throw him in the pool upside down. And they're going to get, we're going to see, like, that's where you're like, oh, let's see if my money's good. And hopefully it's going to flip right side up. And then they're gonna swim to the side, and that's how you know. Like, and I'm going, you get your money back. If they don't, like, you get your, like, what happens? But it is a little bit of that. Can you guys just speak just for just a moment? We'll give you guys 60 seconds, okay? And just speak to maybe gratitude. Any thoughts on gratitude? I'm gonna share a big quote on gratitude. I just want to give you guys a moment here.
So that song was so perfect. For this weekend and for today, and just because you do go through those lows, that last song, and
I like that song too.
Yeah, and even in the lows, you know, like when we were losing our home, we had this beautiful baby daughter who was healthy, and we had people around us that loved us, and so it's so good to, like, look back on those things and be bold. So God, even though it looked kind of bad, God was still there with us, and we had so many things to be thankful for, and then to see how much more and more and more. He just always has more than what we even can imagine. And so when we start having those doubts, I think it's so good to go back, look at what he's done. And, you know, he wants to do more. He always wants to do more. And so I think if we can just keep that posture of, like, I know you did it before, and I know you're going to do it even more, he always will.
Those devotions that you guys gave out to the kids in kids' church a few weeks ago, I believe it was last time we did that. And one of the things came up and said, what are the characteristics of God that you like? And he's like, that was the question on there, and it's like, big, whatever. We're not like that spiritual, we're 18 days behind, but we come out this thing. And one of the things is, what are the characteristics of God that you like? And I was like, you know what? He wants a characteristic of God. I'm like, you know, what are the things that, like, that he assumes, things that Pastor Chris talked about last month, like, what are the things that he does? It's who he is. It's who you describe him. And it is like, he is faithful. Like, I love that he's faithful. And I want to see how faithful he is. I don't want to be like, oh, well, he did this. And then some people, they try God, and they go, he did this much. I'm just going to play it safe. 1% sounds good because he's matching it. You know, like, we think it's like a 401k match with God. It doesn't work the way it's like, hey, just obedient and then go. I'm going to try this. And I'm curious to see how far it'll go.
Gratitude for me, I think it's hard to practice gratitude if you're comparing yourself so much to everybody else. I struggle with it still. I work on it every day. I try to. I think a lot of folks, maybe more men than women, I'm not sure how that works, but that comparison bias that we see, that has limited me in times of my life, and also holding on to things too tightly. What's mine is everybody's. There's not a, if you get something, if you have a blessing and you don't share it, boy, that's tough to enjoy it. And I think we've all seen folks that have been blessed and they have these amazing things and they don't share it. Doesn't seem like a great life, right? It doesn't seem inviting and encouraging. I think that's, I try really hard to recognize things that we've been given, blessings we have, not just money, but relationships, family, work, church, and kids. Try to share that as much as you can and have it as open-handed, open for all to enjoy more than my own personal advancement.
I love that. Can you thank these guys for sharing this? Right, I just was at Mike and Chocolate's house. They got a new house. After they fixed that one completely up, they got a new house. We're not good at it. We did that in Jacksonville. We started putting some things up, and God's like, hey, you're moving. And I'm like, God, we put some work into this house, and we don't want to leave it. He's like, yeah, well, you are. And so, and I go, they go, we saw this house. I don't remember which one of them said it. Probably Chantel, because the title was her idea. She said, think about how many people we can have freedom with in this house. And I love what Craig said, but mine is everybody's. And they live that way. And there's some of you guys know the way I see Matt on the front row. I'm not with Matt on. And that looks really cool. You have, and Matt's like, I'm going to get that from you. You can have it. If you know Matt, if a lot of people will give you, like, their leftovers. You know what I'm saying? But Matt, one thing about Matt, whatever he married, so whatever he's got, he's going to give you. Whatever he's got, you can have it. And that's one of the things about a little bit. Yeah, I got it, you can have it. Whatever, what's mine is not, what's mine is everybody's. There's a thing that's like, you know, he's like, when he eats, everybody's gonna eat. It's not like, oh, look, you know, I'm gonna. And so I'm just so thankful to be in a house like this. There's so many more people. But I also would challenge you with this. There's so many of you guys that you're not even tipping your feet in yet. I remember, Maggie, I remember we were 4 months old and we did a series on time 4 months into our church. That's, if you ever go start a church one day, don't do that. That's probably why the church shrunk my four. And she's like, the day I started tithing, God met me on the other side. On the other side. I thought that was so powerful. I wanted to end our time together by just worshiping the goodness of God. So as the team's coming up, I just want to read one passage of scripture for you. This is the shortest message I've ever preached, I think, if I can try so hard. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Hope Church, Winter Garden, Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, there was 10 people there. There was a church full of people. I'm going to make this so powerful. Let's say, there was a bunch of people in the room. He rolled into Hope. He rolled into Winter Garden, Claremont, West Winter, wherever you live. That's where you guys come from, the city, wherever you come from. He came into the house, just like this, to a room, and he looked at the people, and he said to them, these lepers were there, and he says to these guys, go show yourselves to the priest. And so there's people that were sick and hurting in this room here. This church, it's more like a hospital. If there's sick people here, there's hurting, there's brokenness. I hear about it all the time. I heard about the lobby today. There's needs that need to be met. Jesus rolls into the house. He meets all the needs. Takes care of these 10 guys, the Bible says. And the way he does this is just go show yourself to the priest. And as soon as they tipped their feet in, he's like, they were lepers. And he goes, go show yourself. And the Bible says, as soon as they left, as soon as they like started to try to test, Malachi's one place in scripture. There's only one thing that God tells us to test again, and it's in our finances. It's only in one area. Malachi says, test me and see that I'm good. Test me. Just test the waters. He says here. So he says to the guys, hey, just go show yourself. And as they went, oh, I love that. Just as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed, and then he said, go show yourself. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they experienced the goodness of God. They were cleansed of the leprosy. One of them, now this is the tension point. One of them, when he saw that he was clean, that he was healed, that he was given so much. See, if you don't have what you want, it's okay. If you've got salvation, you have all that you need. Okay, so you're like, man, I wish I had more. If you've got salvation, you have way more. You have what you need. Come on, hell's going to, eternity is good. We're going to run up on eternity eventually. Three of us are excited about our salvation. We're going to run up on eternity at some point. I did Thanksgiving yesterday with my family. And my sister-in-law is in heaven. And this was between last year and this year. My sister-in-law passed away. And my sister is married to my brother-in-law, James. And his sister passed away. One from sickness, one from a car accident. You're going to run to eternity at some point. It's just that I'm 100% sure. You're going to run out. A friend of ours in this house, this time 3 years ago, friend of our house, Nelson and I, now we led to the Lord, we baptized in this house overdose 3 years ago. You're going to run up at some point to eternity. One of them, only one of them, we saw that he was healed. He came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. Praise God. He thought of the guy that Jesus would be thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. There's a lot there. Jesus asked him, didn't I heal 10? Didn't I come into the whole entire house and share that same testimony? Didn't everyone hear that message? Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? The foreigner came back. The guys that knew better didn't come back. The foreigner came back. And Jesus said to them, stand up and go. Your faith is healed. Your actions healed you. There's a lot there. Just download my spirit, just as I'm saying to you. God healed those men. The 9, God healed them. Their faith was healed. This verse says that this man's faith, that's how he got healed. He's like, you're healed. Go show yourself the priest. They were healed. He's like, hey, go show yourself the priest. They're like, we're the priest. This guy came back and goes, it was your faith. I did that, but you have a part in this. I just want to encourage you to, the spot that we all have today, I don't care if you're the broken person in the room, or if you're the rich person in the room, or you're the healthiest person, or you're helpless in common. Your response to what God's done for you should be gratitude. And here's my thought to him. Gratitude communicates that God is with you. If you don't have gratitude, you don't have gratitude. Because you would never gratitude yourself. That's weird. You know that's possible. Gratitude yourself. We do it all the time. Gratitude is like saying, God, I know where it came from. My response is gratitude. My response, I'm just going to be grateful. And I believe gratitude, it multiplies overflow. We're just thankful. Because when you're thankful, you give to someone. You put into it. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm going to Christmas gifts. Quality time. All the love under my spouse. I love her. I'm grateful for her. I'm gonna show her gratitude. When we show gratitude, the overflow multiplies. He's like, you guys came back, you're gonna steward what I gave you. Why wouldn't he allow you to raise? Why wouldn't he resource you more? Why wouldn't he give you more of a steward? Like they were saying, like, no, we lost it all. And God's Chantel said it, she kind of slid in there. But God redeemed it way more times. Whatever was taken, God redeemed way more than what was taken from us. That's the God we see. So I wanted to end our time today just being grateful. I want to invite a prayer team together to come forward. If you want someone to pray with you this morning, our prayer team is available. I'm going to be down in just a moment. But I want to invite everyone to stand their feet. We're supposed to be grateful. Be grateful.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.